We come together today to investigate life, to focus on life, to celebrate life, to give life our full attention, our full devotion, to give it the presence of our very being, and to inquire from the depth of our inner soul, what is life? We think we know what life is. We all think we know that we're intimately connected with that which life is, but do we really know? Or is it just that we believe that there's life because we seem to animate and we see evidence of life around us? Do we have just a belief in life, or do we have the faith that life is eternal, that it's immortal? Do we have evidence of that? Then we start getting a little deeper here, because what evidence do we have that life goes on, that life is immortal? Or is it just that we have faith in that? But one step further is that we need to have a deep spiritual understanding of that which life is, that which existence is. And that's the crux of what we're going to do today, to get beyond the superficial belief in life because we're here, because we seem to live, because things animate around us, that there is such a thing as life. To get beyond our inner faith that life goes on after we're not here, or life goes on within us after we're not presenting this particular form. To a really clear, inner, deep, conscious understanding of that which life is, and that which our life is, and that which existence is. And we give lip service to the fact that we know, especially those of us who have found our way to Christian Science and to the science of being. We feel intuitively that we really know that which life is. But do we? Have we really plumbed the depth of that which it is? And that's the question that's going to be in the forefront of our consciousness today. That's the question that's just going to be ringing through our ears and through our consciousness. And we are going to investigate and focus and go within to discover that which life is. Mrs. Eddy admonished us to study thoroughly the letter and imbibe the spirit. And that's going to be our job today, to present ourselves with the letter of that which life is. But more than that, to make that a living letter, to make the concept of that which life is ring through our being until it becomes a tone within us, until it takes on a deep inner meaning for us instead of just an intellectual sense of that which life is. We need to let that resound within us so deeply that it starts taking root in our consciousness and it builds in our consciousness, so that by the end of this, we just are it. Life is living itself as us, and we just are it. So that's our goal, to investigate thoroughly the letter of that which life is, and to imbibe deeply the spirit of that which life is. And together, we're going to do that today. And I think we're going to have a wonderful time doing it. So as we wed the spirit and the letter, we're going to probe the depth of our own thoughts, of our own motives. We have to do this, because otherwise it stays outside of ourselves. We have to be really, completely, thoroughly honest within ourselves and probe within what do I really know about this? What do I feel about this? What have I really experienced that relates to this? And check at each point our desire, our motive. Why do we even investigate life? Why are we here today? Why do we investigate Christian Science or the science of being? Is it just so that we'll have a more comfortable human existence? Is it just so that we can heal physical ails without seeing a material doctor? Or do we have a really deep inner desire to know the truth and to know what life is? And, you know, we can give a quick intellectual reply and say, oh, well, of course, I really want to know life for its own sake. I really want to know science for its own sake. But do we? And so we're going to follow a method that helps us probe that inner desire within us and those inner longings and needs within us to check whether we are selfless or self-serving, whether we're pure or impure, whether our approach to life is metaphysical or scientific. And today, as a method, we will be approaching it both ways, both metaphysically and scientifically. And it's built in to what we're going to be doing. The metaphysical approach, of course, being to find out about that which life is. When you are attempting to discover that which being is, that which God is, in this instance, that which life is, it's always metaphysical, because life at that juncture appears to be outside of ourselves. So it's something we're investigating, something we're inquiring into, something also that we long to understand, that we long to be one with. But even that deep inner longing is still metaphysical, because it still puts life outside of ourselves. And so that will be, and we will approach it partially that way today, and that will be the metaphysical approach to that which life is. But we will also go one step further, a giant step further, and approach it from the scientific, the spiritually scientific perspective of coming out from that which life is. And we will come out from the law of life, the law of truth, the law of love, in order to see how life itself projects itself on its existence. In order to do that, we're going to utilize a five-step exercise that was formulated some time ago, and many of you probably remember it or are familiar with it. But for those of you who aren't, I'm going to recant it. First, we pose a penetrating spiritual question to consciousness. And probing inside of ourselves with the greatest sense of honesty that we can, we try to give an answer to that question. And don't worry about what those questions are going to be, because they're all formulated for you at this juncture. And we will all ask them together, and we will probe the depth of our own heart individually. And then third, we will let the law of life impel us to the point of understanding life. We will let the law of truth confirm our understanding of life. And we will let the law of love envelop us within that supreme, everlasting, eternal life. And that's the method that we're going to use today. And we're going to explore life through. I have in your packets, I think it's page 3, the actual exercise. And so I think just to reaffirm that, and so that that can be ringing in your consciousness as we go through the examples of it, because we won't go back to identifying the place values that we're in. Let's read this together. You can read, I'll read, and we'll go through this five-step exercise so that it's very clear to us the process, the method that we're going to be using today. The following five-step exercise is designed to facilitate the transition from the material to the spiritual frame of reference. Daily adherence will aid this transformation, bringing you gently into spirit. That is so important. Don't you know, so many, ourselves and others, they approach something new, especially something scientifically, spiritually new, and they start chemicalizing, and their life goes just kittywampus, and it turns upside down on itself. So Mrs. Eddy admonished us to go gently into spirit. And I have discovered through working with a number of people that in utilizing something at least similar to this, it helps us move gently into spirit without a lot of counterfeit claims coming up in our life. Or if they do come up, they don't take hold, and they don't mesmerize, and they don't choke one, and they don't keep one back from actually imbibing the spiritual understanding of the fact that we really want to. So anyway, first, as I said before, present a penetrating spiritual question to your consciousness. Allow its answer to come from the depth of your being. Make sure you do not give a quick intellectual reply, but turn within and attempt to be still, to silence the chatter of the intellect, the human heart, the physical senses. And I don't know about you, but, you know, that isn't always an easy thing to do.
No.
You know, it's just, we cannot fathom how noisy our mind can be, or our feelings can be, or our senses. They're just always feeding us information. So if we really want an honest reply to a spiritually posed question, we need to at least attempt to become very quiet, to quiet the chatter of the mind, the intellect, to quiet the chatter of our feelings, our longings, wishes, wants, hopes, to quiet the chatter of the senses, you know, the body, it's really noisy, quiet that down, and then let that response come. So you're going to penetrate the layers of your being for really deep, honest response, and then face that response without any excuse or any judgment or any pride. And sometimes we tend to be very self-critical. You know, we say, oh, you know, well, I haven't come anywhere near that. I'm miles away from it, blah, 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 blah. And then sometimes we say, oh, well, I've got that one licked, you know, and that's spiritual pride. So you want to answer these questions in such a, you don't have to tell anyone else the answer. This is yourself you're talking to. You just need to answer it without judgment, without pride, just as honestly and simply as you can, without any excuse. It is possible to acknowledge degrees of growth or limitation while holding to the promise of one's ultimate divinity. And so we can do that. It's possible for me to say, well, yeah, I kind of get that. I really do kind of see that. Or, yes, I really grasp the concept of that. But I don't know if it's really ringing inside of me yet. And that's the kind of thing that we're going to be probing today. So, secondly, really, really important. This is all part of scientific obstetrics, all part of Mrs. Eddy's admonition that we go gently into spirit. How do we go gently into spirit? We go gently into spirit by opening ourselves to the new, by being willing to receive the new from within, and by just keeping ourselves totally open. And how do we do that? Well, one of the ways we do that is to find within a sincere desire to relinquish the limitation in question in favor of the spiritual state, whatever that is, and willingly let everything go in one's thought, in one's feelings, in one's life that supports the limitation. Oh, that's so much easier to say than to do. I mean, we have a whole system around us that supports our belief structure, that supports our system of life. And to start letting go of some of those limitations, in the first place, you have to be aware of the limitations, and you have to be aware of the fact that you need to let go of them. But even after you're aware, to actually start detaching from some of those limitations is just so much easier to say than to do. So we need to have a lot of compassion for ourselves and a lot of compassion for each other, and never judge what we are doing or what someone else is doing, because we don't know what it is that the other person is working out. And we don't know even sometimes what we are working out totally. So we need to be a wonderful mother to ourselves and see the promise and be so kind and so gentle with ourselves and so loving. And I say these things and everyone says, oh yeah, sure. But when push comes to shove and we're right up against it and we need to let go of something that is really precious to us, I mean, it could be anything. It could be someone that we love dearly. It could be anything. We need to be willing. We need to be willing. So this second stage is equivalent to scientific obstetrics, and it's really, really important to probe that depth within and to desire with the fullness of one's heart to be in that spiritual place, whatever the place is that we're looking at the time. Willingly let everything go, as I said, that supports that limitation, that feeds it, that gives it strength or purpose, and then hope and wish and want and desire and pray to be drawn into that pure state in which the spiritual factor function in question is to be found. Long to know that true essence, to feel it, to sense it, to be so aligned with it that it becomes an integral part of who you are. And it's a process, and sometimes when we're really, really fortunate and we connect with Source just instantaneously, that process is accomplished in the twinkling of an eye. And we not only grasp the concept of something, but it becomes us. I mean, we just go through all those stages without any time whatsoever. It just goes, oh, yeah, I've got it. And you're not kidding. You really do have it. You've really got it. And it's something that belongs to you. And it's something that you live with. And it's something that you exemplify. And it's something that you radiate. And it pours out of you. And it actually influences everything you do in your life. And when it happens like that, woo, you know, it's great. It's great. And we celebrate and we're just jumping up and down. I know I do. You know, I'm going, yay, you know, I did it. I did it. I've got it. It's mine. It's fabulous. And you'd love it. And it's wonderful. But there's that but, you know, it doesn't always happen that way. No, it doesn't always happen that way. And sometimes we need to be very gentle and we need to let this desire within ourselves to become one with the spiritual essence of what we're entertaining. And we need to let it unfold in stages and unfold gently. And we need to be patient with that. Patient. The way you'd be patient with a little child who's learning to walk. You know, they fall down a zillion times. And you pick them up and you say, good, hey, that's wonderful. And you cheer them on. And they keep walking. And one day, they walk really well, and it's a natural part of themselves, and they never knew what it was like not to walk. And that's the same thing with all of us. As we entertain deeper and deeper and greater spiritual facts, they become a natural part of us until we don't even remember when they weren't, because they are so natural to our being. Anyway, to help this process along, we have three amazing helpers, and three helpers that all of you are, I'm sure, aware of, at least to some degree. And that's life, truth, and love. And they are there for us. They have always been there for us. They really are us. And we will utilize or allow them to utilize us and bring us into alignment with that which we are presenting or we are entertaining. So, number three, which is life, turn to God. Turn to being, life. Turn to the source of all that is good and true and holy, to that divine omnipotence which alone has the power to bring forth the ever new you, which alone has the power to bring forth the ever new you. You can't do it. I can't do it. We can't make ourselves new. Life impels the newness within us. It is breaking forth within us and bringing us into newness. So let's get that perspective straight. We're transiting now from the metaphysical to the scientific. So we're going to come out from life, and we're going to let life impel everything for us. So, turn to the source of all that is good and true and holy, to that divine omnipotence which alone has the power to bring forth the ever new you. Tap into your true source, into the core of your being that is and ever has been eternal. Invite it to unveil the spiritual state you seek. Now, right away, you see a great difference, because in the metaphysical approach, it's out there and you're trying to learn about it. From the scientific approach, you assume it's already you. You assume that there isn't anything else, and that it's just that it's been covered up with layers of shadow, layers of gunk of some sort, and we're just peeling off the layers. So we need to let life peel off those layers for us. And we'll be very specific as we get into things about life, but this is just the exercise. Let the qualities that make up that state spring forth from the center of your being. Allow them to express in all that you are, in all that you do. Let them have life. So these things that we're going to be entertaining today, these concepts, we need to let them have life within us. We need to let them surge and grow and express and inspire within ourselves. It is possible to aid this process by stating to our consciousness, let there be. You know, let there be that true desire in me. Let there be the mind of Christ in me. Let there be the living essence of life within me, whatever it is. Let it be. Let it be. And that's the biblical impulsion. But we can use that. We can say, okay, let that quality exist within me. Let everything that's been veiling it peel off so I can rediscover that quality within me. And that's the life position. And you can say, may I allow? I've given various examples there, but we don't really need to go into them in depth now because you have the paper here anyway. The fourth position is that position of truth, where you are affirming and trusting that it will be so, that it's going to do it, that if you ask it to do it, it is going to do it. And then you recognize that that quality or function you seek is in actuality an intrinsic part of your being. Become conscious of this fact. Acknowledge the truth of it. Confirm that as a quality of being, it belongs not only to you, but to everyone. That whatever it is that we're investigating today about life belongs to everyone. It belongs to the entirety of existence. It belongs to us. It does belong to us. And we will need to affirm that in consciousness. and trust that affirmation within consciousness. And it's interesting because in this position of truth is often where it draws up the counterfeit claim. And so you'll notice as we go through the papers that I have in this book about life, that quite often, not always, but quite often, in that D position, which is the position of truth, that the counterfeit is coming up to be handled at that point. And so we'll do that collectively together. So we need to affirm that the truth is so all-encompassing that it must, by its very nature, reveal that counterfeit. And you know, whether we affirm it or not, it is going to reveal the counterfeit. But if we are one step ahead, and we understand that that's the process, and that's how it works, then when the counterfeit claim comes up, you just go, ha-ha, I got you. It's because I'm really entertaining the truth, and I'm really entertaining something new here that's vital and alive and real, that the counterfeit wants to come up so it can be dissolved in the light of the truth. And it's not a big deal. I don't have to give it credence. I don't have to give it importance. I don't have to embrace it. I don't have to say, oh my gosh, I don't want you. I don't like what you're doing to me. I don't like what I'm going through. I don't like the struggle. I don't like whatever it is. No, it isn't real anyway. But it needs to come up so it can show you at that specific place value what the counterfeit claim is. What the it's like if I've got 2 + 2 = 4 and I'm really concentrating on 2 + 2 = 4 and I'm imbibing it and the principle of mathematics is giving me the addition and it's giving me this specific equation, then of course I will have to recognize that 2 + 2 = 5 or 10 or 20 or 106 isn't correct. And it isn't part of the correct equation. And so it's perfectly fine that those other things show up because I don't have to worry about it. I just say, oh, that's not you. That's not real. No, I don't have to accept that. And I'm not going to accept that. No. It's okay. I'm just going to hold in consciousness deeply and completely that which is true. Which brings us to the fifth one. Accept the perfection of this spiritual state. And of course, all of us who know the synonymous terms can hear the law of love here, where we are accepting the perfection of the spiritual state. Accept that it belongs to you and it belongs to all, and that from a more comprehensive point of view, it is and ever has been a living part of your being, a living part of our being. Welcome it, nurture it, cherish it within yourself, within all. Sense the presence of it everywhere. Oh, I love this position. I just love this position because all the work is out. Everything is gone. You say, ah, gosh, that which is, and it always has been, and it's been that way from eternity to eternity, and nothing I have to do will make it so or not so. I can't make it not so. I can't make it so. It just is. It is a fact, and it's always been. And I love it, and I cherish it, and I glorify in it, and I am existing in the presence of it, and I am so grateful that it is what it is, and that that state is so perfect. And today, as we investigate life, we are going to be so thrilled to know that life is always in a state of perfection.